ladies were at the breakfast yesterday. Yeah, I hear you had a fantastic time. I was supposed to be amongst the chefs. It was supposed to be three. Turned out to be two. My excuse was I had to go and visit my ailing mother in Scunthorpe. Which I did. But I hear the standard of cooking was so great that the bar has been lifted very high that I'm not sure I feel able to join the team next time, Paul. But I beg your pardon? Thank you. I'll be there. Fantastic. Okay. This morning I want to talk about, for the last time in this series really, on the Lord's Prayer. And I hope that you found it helpful. I've met at least one person that has started using the Lord's Prayer in their daily prayer and have found it helpful. They asked me to send them a PDF, something they could put on their phone, because they'd found that praying the Lord's Prayer had been really helpful to their prayer life. How many people here this morning find praying easy? No? Okay. I think I'd say that I don't find it easy. That praying doesn't, for many of us, come naturally. I think once we get into praying, we think, wow, I'm glad I did it. But actually getting down to it is quite hard. And the disciples, they came to Jesus and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Just like John the Baptist teaches his disciples to pray, teach us to pray. And Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this. So he gave us the Lord's Prayer to help us to pray, to teach us to pray. And I personally have found it extremely helpful. Joe, do you want to put up that first acetate, that first overhead, which nobody will be able to read, the picture? The reason that you don't have to read it is because I've got it here, and I've printed out about 20 copies of these for anybody that would like this afterwards. What I've done here is that I've taken the Lord's Prayer. I've taken in red is the different parts of it. In black, I've got how I would pray. I've done a condensed version of how I might pray the Lord's Prayer. And the little blue bits are like instructions. And I'm just going to go through that very quickly this morning so that we can learn how to pray. This is how I pray the Lord's Prayer. I found that prayer is a very individual thing. If I asked anybody here to pray, they would pray a different way than I pray. And yet Jesus gave us this overriding pattern that would be helpful to any of us to pray. I have found that this Lord's Prayer thing I know something about because I must have prayed it hundreds, possibly thousands of times. And I've prayed it because I find it useful. If I wake up in the middle of the night, I find it's like part of my DNA. I'll start praying, Father. And it'll lead me into prayer. If I wake up and get up in the morning, I feel a bit tired and I don't know quite how to approach prayer, I'll start Our Father in Heaven, and I'll go through this. When I cycle to work, often you can't be reading your Bible as you cycle, a bit dangerous. But you can if you know the Lord's Prayer. Use it as a model. I've even walked walk to work every now and then. It takes about an hour and a bit to work to walk into work from where I am, and I found staging posts along the way. And I thought, okay, this is where I start praying, Your Kingdom Come. This is where I start praying, Give Us Today Our Daily Bread. And I've changed it. It's incredibly flexible. A modern word these days is scalable. The Lord's Prayer is unbelievably scalable. So you can pray it a little. You can pray it once through. You can pray it in 5 minutes. You can spend 3 hours praying the Lord's Prayer. We prayed it in the prayer meeting. I was reading about a guy called Yonggi Cho. Some of you probably heard of this man, a Korean pastor. And he has often used the Lord's Prayer, certainly one period of his life. And he said, when I pray, it's like a running track. And I go round and round the track. And I know how many times I've been round because I use the Lord's Prayer. And at that time, he was breaking the Lord's Prayer up into 6 chunks. And he was praying one part of it for a certain amount of time. Now, this is a guy who would often pray for 3 hours before the day began. And then he might pray for 2 hours in the afternoon before his next meeting. Here is a man who knew how to pray. And yet he was not bored with praying the Lord's Prayer. Now, I'm not suggesting that you jump into a 3-hour prayer time. For me, when I first became a Christian, the guy who led me to the Lord put some Bible reading notes in the post and suggested that I spend 10 minutes a day praying and reading my Bible. And I started the habit of it. And 10 minutes to me seemed like a long time. But get into the habit and you may find the Lord's Prayer very helpful. So let's stand, shall we? Father, as we pray your prayer this morning, this prayer that you gave us, I pray this morning that you will help us to pray, that you will teach us to pray. Forgive us for our prayerlessness. Forgive us for our independence. Father, would you help us? Would you give us light? Would you give us revelation? Would you give us your Spirit this morning to lead us into your presence and teach us how to pray? Amen. Do sit down. I want this morning to make this a teaching session, a praying session, and a worship session. Because the last thing I want to do this morning is take that last bit of the Lord's Prayer. Yours be the kingdom. Yours be the power. Yours be the glory. And the Lord's Prayer ends in a blaze of glory. And I'd like our meeting this morning to end that way, that we may get hold of something that would lead us into a great praise and worship of God. But let's look at this as a pattern. First of all, Jesus said, pray then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven. I might pray, Father, I come boldly to your throne of grace. You are Abba Father. Thank you for the love that you have bestowed upon me, that I should be called a child of God. Thank you that you are better than any earthly father, that you are a righteous father, an almighty father, a powerful father. Our Father who is in heaven, often just speaking the words, our Father, 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 Father. It connects us. It brings us into God's presence. Hallowed be your name. Father, I pray that you will reveal your name to me. Lord, would you show me your glory as Moses prayed? Help me to know you today. Show me that your name is set apart from any other name on earth. Help me to honor your name today in all I think or speak or do. Father, may your kingdom come. May you be king of my life today, and may your kingdom come in the lives of those around me, in the lives of my family, in the lives of my church, in the lives of my neighbors, in the lives of the loved ones that don't yet know you, in this city, in this nation. Lord, may your kingdom come. Father, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I pray that your will may be done on earth, not mine. I pray that you would help me to be as willing to do your will as the angels in heaven. I pray you will help me to be willing to do the hard things as well as the easy things that you ask. And then give us this day our daily bread. This is the one that most of us don't find too much difficulty in praying. Give us today the food that we need today. Father, I'm here and I'm praying about the things that I find hard today. And I'm listing them. And I'm here to pray today about the things that I don't find hard today, but I still want to trust you for those things. Give me today the things that I need today, your provision and your power. And Father, would you forgive me my debts? Father, all that I owe you, the things that I have done which I ought not to have done, and those things which I have not done, which I ought to have done. Father, as I've been praying, the things that you have shown me that I did yesterday, that word that I spoke, that attitude that I've got, that thing that I did, would you forgive me and wash me in your blood? Father, I receive forgiveness for my sins, and I thank you for your blood. As we have forgiven our debtors, Father, as you have forgiven me more than I could ever repay, I think about that person yesterday that I resented, that person in my family who I've borne a grudge towards. Father, would you forgive me for my unforgiveness? I'm choosing to forgive those people in my life. And we all have them. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Father, I am powerless today against sin. I am powerless today against the old nature. Without you, I cannot do it. Empower me with your Spirit today so that I will not enter into temptation. God, would you give me victory over the influence of the world? And protect me today against the wiles of the devil. Because yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Prayer is the result of humility. If we are truly humble people, we will pray. Because prayer is a mark of our lack of independence and our dependence upon God. If you are not praying, you are proud. I'm sorry to tell you that this morning. If you do not pray, you have a degree of pride in your life. Because prayer is what people do who need God. When you pray, you're saying, God, I cannot do it myself. I need you. So get praying, folks. Get praying. Often we might be more inclined to pray, mine be the glory, than thine be the glory. Because it's our power. The whole essence of this last part of the Lord's Prayer, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. There's an equation here that we give God the glory because it is his power. If it's our power, it's our glory. If it's his power, it's his glory. And how much of our lives are spent in self-effort and strife and struggling and striving and leaving God on the side somewhere. If it's God's power, it's his glory. I wanted us to have a look at this thing of God's kingdom and God's power and God's glory. You know, God is the king of the whole earth. Psalm 47, verse 1 and 2 says this. Oh, clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with a voice of joy. For the Lord Most High is to be feared, a great king over all the earth. Now, David, of all people, knew that God was not ruling over the whole earth at that time. And yet he regarded him as above all that was going on in the earth, as the eternal king. God has never left his throne. Sometimes we give the devil too much glory. He is not God's equal. He is not in charge. Yes, Jesus called him the ruler of the world, but there was one who was always higher than he. And that was the king over the whole earth. God is not sitting in heaven this morning biting his fingernails, worried about the Greek economy. He's not worried about what's happening in the world. He knows what is happening in the world. And he knows what is going to happen in the world. And he has got a plan for the whole world. And he is going to wrap the whole thing up. And we're going to have a look at that this morning. He is a great king over all the earth. John 12:31, Jesus said, now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And he was coming up to the cross at that point in time. But he called the devil the ruler of the world. When the devil said, I'm showing you, Jesus, all these kingdoms, and you can have the rule over all of them. How big of Satan was that? How big? Saying that to Jesus. If you just bow down to me. Really, he was just trying to make him sin. When the devil is roaring around, is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, do you know what he's trying to do? He wants to make you sin. That is his main strategy. He wants to separate you from Almighty God, because he knows that when you are separated from him, you have no power. If you watch those David Attenborough things, anybody been watching? Did you see the thing about the buffaloes, the poor buffaloes? I think it was that one where the jackals try and separate the wolves. No, it was the wolves, wasn't it? Try to separate the buffalo, the young, the weak one, from the pack. And once they separated them, they got them. That's the devil's strategy. First to separate us from God. But by the blood of Jesus, and if we confess our sin, there is never a need that we should ever be separated from him. He is the ruler of this world, but it is a limited rule. Something went wrong at the fall of man. Something went terribly wrong in this world. And a corruption came upon this world. And a corruption came into the heart of you and me, of men and women all over the world. Something very bad happened. It was the ruler of this world taking possession of some authority that he had been given. But right from the beginning of time, right from the fall of man, right from the Garden of Eden, God had made it clear that one was going to come who was going to take back his kingdom and his authority. In Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, it says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. For on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." There is a king coming, and his kingdom will have no end. The prophet Daniel said this, in the days of those kings, and he's just given Nebuchadnezzar a vision of all the empires that will follow him, the Babylonian Empire, the Persian, the Chaldean, and the Roman Empire, all pictured in this great figure. And it says, in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. And that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms. But it will itself endure forever. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, after 30 years, the Holy Spirit came upon him. And he started to snatch people from the jaws of death. He started to snatch people out of the kingdom of darkness and bring them into the kingdom of light. On the day of Pentecost, as they were assembled there, the Holy Spirit fell upon the early church. And in one day, 3,000 were snatched out of the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light. God chose Paul to help to take the gospel into Europe and into the then known world. And God said to him, "I've called you to take people out of the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of light." And from that time on until this day, people are coming out of the kingdom of darkness. And this will continue. But there is a greater future coming. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there's a glorious little bit we don't often talk about. Somebody once called this Operation Footstool. Do you want to go back and overhead? The one that starts, then comes the end. This is the beginning of that. Then comes the end, Paul is writing. When he hands over the kingdom to the God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and authority and power, there is a day coming when Jesus will overcome all things, including death and hell, and he will hand the kingdom back to his Father. Oh, what a great day that will be. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. It says in Hebrews, we do not yet see all things under his feet, but we see him. We see the reigning one. We see the victorious one. We see the one who has bruised the head of Satan. We see the one who was crucified on the cross and robbed them of their authority and destroyed the principalities and the powers. In Colossians 2:15, it says, having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. When Jesus died on Calvary, he struck a fatal blow on Satan. And yet, his power was not taken away at that instant. It was going to take centuries until that diminishing power was finally taken away. But the victory was on the cross. When Jesus cried out, "It is finished," our sins were forgiven, and Satan's power was taken away. But he must reign until all his enemies have been put under his feet. The last enemy that will be abolished is death. For he has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when he says all things are put in subjection, it is evident that he is accepted who put all things in subjection to him. That's the Father. And when all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself also will be subjected to the one who subjected all things to him, so that God may be all in all. If you read great swathes of the Old Testament, if you read parts of the New Testament, we find that God will reign upon this earth. There will be a period of time when God will reign upon this earth, where Jesus will have his way, because God is not mocked, and he will have his way, and it's glorious. I want to use the last part of my talk this morning by looking into the future through the Bible. Let's have a look at Revelation chapter 4. I want to just take us this morning into a few of the scenes in heaven. When you get to this last bit of the Lord's Prayer and you're wondering how to praise him, if it's not enough to just thank him for everything that he's done for you, just go into Revelation and just pick the bits that are in inverted commas, where the angels or the 24 elders or all creation are speaking things out in praise and worship to God. Starting here, I want to see, what is it that they were worshiping him for? Do we just worship God because Christians worship? There are reasons why we worship God. Look out for that word "for" as I read out these passages. The 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne, and they will worship him who lives forever and ever. And they will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "O worthy are you, O Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will they existed and were created." What fabulous words. Do you know there is not an atom in your body? There is not an atom on this ground on which I stand. There is not an atom of the air and the oxygen which I breathe that God did not create. He is the maker of all things. And in heaven they are thrilled with this thought of God, that he is the creator I believe it's foundational to our faith that we understand and have a revelation that God is our creator God. For you created all things. You're worthy. Why are you worthy? Because you made everything. And because of your will, they existed. I don't know why you think you're here on this earth. Whether you think you're here to have children and get them educated and successful and then pay your mortgage and die. But you know, that's what a lot of people think. We're just going through life, this short lifespan, and we're just paying our bills. And if we're lucky, by the end of it, we'll have paid all our debts and not leave them to our children. What is important in life? This Francis Chan guy that Paul was talking about, I saw an illustration that he had of a rope, and he was holding this rope, and it went to the end of the room. He said, I want you to imagine this rope just not ending in this room, but just going on and on and on. And that rope represents your lifespan, that you're not just here for these 70 years. You're not just here for these 70 years. Your life is going to go on and on. And yet all you're concerned about at this, in my age is, you know, who knows how many years I've got left? 20, 30, 40? I don't know. But it's not many compared to eternity. And we're looking at this tiny little bit compared to all that is to come. Our perspective is so small. What is important? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. We need to have a kingdom perspective. All that matters in this life is that God is glorified in my life and in the life of my family, and that the influence of my life might have some worth in eternity. Is that your perspective this morning? Because it needs to be. The Bible is full of eternity. Because of your will, they existed. You are here for the will of God. Whether you know it or not, that's the reason you were born, for God's will. Going on, Revelation chapter 5. 8 and 9, when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals. Why is he worthy? For you were slain, God. You were slain. I mean, can you imagine this? The angels and the 24 elders and these living creatures. I mean, are they astonished at this thought? For you were slain. Revelation 5, you're worthy because God himself was slain for us. Can you believe it? That God himself would step down from heaven in the person of Jesus, live 33 holy years, and then lay down his life for us. For you were slain. No wonder angels long to look into this. And you have purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Do you know that you and I, we do not belong to ourselves? You may think you own your life, but you don't. If you belong to Jesus, then you belong to him. And he has paid a very high price for you. You are purchased. You have been bought with his blood that flowed from his hands and his feet and his side and his head. That blood of Jesus. God owns you. He won't demand it yet, but one day he will. Revelation 5, verses 11 and 12. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and living creatures and elders, and the number of them was myriads and myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Revelation 11, verses 15 to 17. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven, saying, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of the Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever." You may not be excited by this morning, but the angels are very excited because they have waited for centuries to see Jesus take back his kingdom. And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give you thanks, O Lord God, the Almighty, who are and who were, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign." Amen. If you're here, would you like to? I'd like us, when I finish my talk this morning, to just praise God a little bit. He is worthy, for he was slain. He is worthy because he has created all things. He is worthy because he's going to reign upon this earth. Revelation 15, verses 2 to 4. "And I saw something like a sea of glass mixed with fire. And those who had been victorious over the beast and his image and the number of his name standing on the sea of glass, holding harps of God. And they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God. And they sang the song of the Lamb, saying, righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy." For you alone are holy. What a reason to worship God. Because he is so utterly different to us. Because he is so utterly pure and so utterly clean and so utterly righteous and unblameable. "For you alone are holy. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For all the nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed." God is not a Father Christmas. Let us not worship a God of our imagination. We are not given a menu of gods to worship, and we just pick and mix. I like that bit. I like that nice bit. I like that bit. God is God. He is holy. He is worthy to be praised for who he is. He is not going to change for us. Revelation 19, 1 and 2 is more challenging to our minds. "After these things, I heard something like a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, because his judgments are true and righteous." I was up yesterday visiting my mother, who I'm praying. I don't know where she is in relation to God. I know a little bit, but I don't know her heart. And you know people you love that maybe don't know God. And we're talking about eternity here. We're talking about heaven. We're talking about hell. These are not light and small things. But I want you to know one thing this morning. His judgments are true and righteous. We cannot question the wisdom of God in his judgment. We cannot. And then finally, Revelation 19:7. This last breath of praise, as the angels and the elders have seen what's been going on upon this earth, and they have seen all things subjected under the feet of Jesus, and they have seen death and hell cast into the lake of fire, And they have seen Jesus hand back the kingdom to his Father. And this is what they say, and let's stand. Shall we stand? Then I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him. And then what a privilege, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. Father, 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 you are a great God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Thank you, Lord, you are not mocked, but you will have your way upon this earth, Lord. And all heaven and all earth will be under your dominion. Father, we worship you. Father, we worship you because you are the creator of all things, and every atom in our body you have created. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you sent your Son to die on the cross for me, Lord. You shed your blood for sinful mankind. You loved us when we were yet unlovely, Lord. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Who will not worship you, Lord, for such sacrifice and such love? Oh, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Father, we do not understand your judgments, but we stand in awe of them this morning. And we say your judgments are righteous and true. And we worship you because you are holy above all things. Holy Spirit, would you help us to praise? Would you give us a vision of the Father and the Son? Oh, Father, yours be the kingdom and the power of God.